Welcome, everybody. Let me help you envision, explore, and execute your plans. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda. On today's show, Horatio Piccinino. He's a financial advisor from Monmouth, New Jersey, and he dedicates his life to volunteering around the world. Before we get started today, I just want to make sure you know you can go to motivatemepodcast.com, and there you're going to find our show notes, links to all of the resources mentioned. You'll find an application to be on the show. You'll have access to our email, and we can direct you to the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page, because nothing matters more to me than to connect with my listeners. So I hope I can do that starting right now. Horatio, we typically start the show with a quote, and I know you do have one that's meaningful for you. Would you like to share it with our audience?
Sure. My quote is changing the world one family at a time.
Okay. Do you know where you got that quote from?
Actually, I wrote it myself. It's really about my passion and my vision is really how we can all change the world one family at a time. Actually, what happened was I tried to come up with a mission statement for my life. And really, I realized this is really what I want to do. And this is what I really want to be.
Okay. So how do you do that?
I do it through my volunteering organization. I work with as a chapter director for Central Jersey, country director for the Caribbean. And I started a program called I Was Hungry to really feed families in third world nations, not only feeding them, but also helping them how to fish, teaching them how to fish so they're able to feed themselves. Just got back from Honduras where the families there, we just taught them how to grow their own crops along with support that we give them every month.
Right. Now, what is that passage that says, teach a man to fish and...
It actually comes from... it's actually not a passage. It's a quote that says, you feed a man today, you only feed him for today. And if I'm quoting it right, I believe it's, you teach him to fish and you teach him and you feed him for a lifetime.
Exactly. I knew you would know that one. Can you tell us, though, I know that you're a financial planner and that's what you do by day, but this is a full-time volunteer role that you also play, correct?
That's correct.
And where did this passion begin for you?
Well, I've always been looking to serve. I learned from my parents serving others. My father and mother were always helping somebody out. But I think really what it came down, which really hit me a few years ago, I read a book by Richard Stearns called A Hole in Our Gospel. And it focused on that while we're busy preaching the gospel to people, we're not really taking care of the needs, which is the poor. And he mentioned to us in the book that there was about 2,000 scriptures that deal with God's attitude towards the poor. And I said, wow, I missed that all these years. And once I read it, I started getting involved. And once it did, it just became part of me.
So you say you missed out all these years. Did you have any type of hesitations going? Because I know you worked full time first, and this is a newer transition where you started volunteering full time, right? How did that all play out in your life?
Well, I've always been volunteering, so it's not like this was a complete change. It was just right. The focus of it. Before, I was just doing work around the area, visiting nursing homes. I would preach for churches every once in a while, do motivational speeches. But this actually, what happened, it just hit me, it cut me to the heart saying, there's all these needs out there. I have so much. How can I change people's lives? And looking at Richard Stearns, he was the president of Lennox China, and he gave up that job to become the president of World Vision, and the amazing work that they have done as a result of giving up the latter success in the world to focusing on changing the world.
That's pretty amazing. Now, did you have any disappointments in this process?
It's the challenge is trying to get other people to see the dream, but once you have a dream and a vision and you have a passion for it, I just look at challenges like anything else in life. I have my vision planted in concrete, but my plans are in sand, which means, I get a roadblock, I just go around it. It doesn't really bother me.
Right. And the thing is, I always talk about how life is a process. We're still in the middle of it. I understand that. But, you talked about in our chat before the interview about basically that being in sales and having to be a salesman. And I can't help but see the connection between those years of experience selling and these years now volunteering, where really, I mean, you need to reach out and pull people in with you, you know, mm-hmm. and it is sales or persuasion in a way, because like you said, you're trying. And while it's not a hard sell, you still, you know, for the better good of people in general, not just for the people that you serve and help, but for the people who are serving, you want them to kind of see the benefit in how that makes you feel and how it's such a positive for your That's person, cool. for your person and the world.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think what happens is even the way I do sales and really kind of develop me for it is because of doing financial advice, I care about the people I deal with. Most of my clients from 20 to 30 years, because they're all more like family than they are customers. And as a result is, I believe that if you take care of your customers, they take care of you. And I've seen it happen over my life. I mean, I'm very successful in sales. It's because I don't feel like I'm selling. I feel like I'm recommending to them. And if I put their best interest at heart, it seems to come back in ways that they, you know, as a result, people trust me. And when I make recommendations, they do it. And so I kind of went from helping my seniors and young people getting started to now just helping people with the same type of plans that I've helped them set up. Now I do it with a different situation with people who couldn't afford to go see a financial advisor, but people who really do need to do things in their life to, you know, get out of poverty.
Right. Well, I mean, I would say to you that if I was looking for a financial advisor, I would want to go to somebody who's sacrificing time away from their family and comfort time and leisure time to go travel around the world to benefit other people. Because, I mean, how else can you see that somebody is truly good-hearted inside, you know, good-natured person?
Yeah, and I actually looked at it that it's really – when I look at this, it's not that I'm sacrificing anything, because when you have a passion, it's something that I have a privilege to do. I've traveled around the world for pleasure, probably been to, who knows, 50, 60 countries, been to exotic locations, been on top of the Alps, you name it. What most people consider success, I've already done that and gone beyond that. But it left an emptiness. Okay, something was missing. And the book of Ecclesiastes talks about that. At the end, Solomon's writing this stuff about, it's almost like he's depressed about everything that he's had. And he finally says, really, the only thing worthwhile in life is serving God. And it sounded good at one time until I discovered that. And it just opened up my heart to just like, wow, I finally found riches. I describe it like I climbed the ladder of success. And when I got to the top, I realized I was in the wrong building.
Wow, that's pretty profound. And I definitely know and agree with the fact, because I've done a lot of service in my life too on smaller scales, nothing like you're doing. But I do feel like what I'm doing now is service, because my intentions are so true. And I know I was talking to you before the interview also about Motivate Me, the ultimate support system community that we're creating, and how meaningful it is to me that people have each other and have a support system just to be with like-minded people. But some people need it on a smaller scale, but some people need it on a greater scale. And even, you know, my husband and I had a karaoke business for 13 years, and that sounds really funny, but the reality is it built such a sense of community for the people and, you know, for people around here. And some people sang and they loved to sing and were great. Other people loved to sing and were not great. And other people just like to come to be with everybody and watch everybody else sing. But the bottom line is they all started by coming in alone. But by the end of the night, I had people all sitting together. And then by the end of the month, those people would come in and save seats. And it was really awesome to see. And I would love to see this on a bigger scale with all my guests and listeners and be able to communicate with everybody and reach out and lift people up and have them. I just don't like when people are alone. It really upsets me when people are alone. Okay, so at what point, and I know you said you did a lot of traveling and you on your own for leisure, and now you do a lot of travel on a volunteer basis. At what point did you feel that kind of transition moment where you said, this is more meaningful than anything I've ever done?
It's actually started about 6 years ago when I went on my first trip. I came back from my first trip after reading that book. I said, you know what? This is what I need for my life. And what I did was I wrote a 10-year plan of what I wanted to do. And something in the first 5 years, something in the next 5 years. And basically, with the help of God, we've done everything in the first 5 years that I had planned, a 10-year plan.
Wow.
It's just an amazing transition and journey. I'm actually looking to hopefully to write a book on compassion, my journey to, I was hungry, my journey to compassion, because I still feel that I'm not totally there. I've been doing this for about 7 years, and every year I feel my heart breaking more and start thinking about the families we're taking care of. It's a process. It's just don't, you know, we're most of us are selfish to begin with, at least I was, and thinking of others before me was a difficult situation. It happens in marriage. It happens in life. And to start thinking of other people's hungers and other people's needs was a growing process. I believe that I have a glimpse of what it's like, but really to understand that compassion where you can't go to sleep at night thinking of somebody starving over there in the world and somebody you know. And I have built relationships with hundreds of people through different countries. And every night I think about them. In the morning I think about them. But I still think that there's still something missing. So one of the things I did 6 years ago when I made the plan, I also wrote a eulogy. It may sound a little ridiculous, but what happened was I said, okay, if I were to die today, what would somebody say about me? And I realized I just, you know, made money, you know, I had a good family, lived in a nice house, traveled, and then I'm gone. That all gone. On the other hand, what happens if I build something that it'll continue after I'm going? So really, it helped me define who I am and who I wanted to be and what I want to set on my funeral. Hopefully it won't happen for a long, long time. But in the meantime, it helped create the focus of the direction I want for my life.
And so what do you think you learned about yourself in that process then?
It was that I was very selfish. I was looking at all, most of my life I lived on worldly and, you know, material possessions and worldly success. I did help people along the way, but it was kind of something I did as opposed to something I am.
You know, I really love what you're talking about today. And I know that my listeners are taking a lot out of what you're saying, especially those people who are walking around doing their daily lives and feeling like something's missing and knowing that maybe serving people in some capacity would enhance their lives in some way, because that's the whole point of this podcast, to help people discover or rediscover a passion and incorporate it into their lives at whatever degree that means for them. It could be once a month. It could be once a quarter. It could be every day. It could be every weekend, whatever works for them, you know, and helping them see what other people have done so they can apply it to their lives. Some people may listen to what you've done and say, I have the flexibility in my life and my schedule to do something as timely and amazing as what Horatio is doing. Some people may reach out and try to support people who are doing what you're doing. But either way, the bottom line is getting involved and making your life feel more meaningful in whatever way that means for them.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's what happens is most people, like I said before, is they do climb the ladder of success. And when they get there, they go through depression because this is it. And that's how I felt when I got to the top. Okay, what else is next? And you can see in the world, people who reach the pinnacle of success get involved in drugs, alcohol, reckless behavior, because it sounds great when you're trying to get there. And then you get there and you realize, oh, there's got to be something more to life than this. And I really believe deep in my heart, there really is nothing better than serving. It's just the fulfillment you get. It really is priceless. It's hard to explain, but once you get involved in that, and people who have volunteered know what it's like, you know, besides outside the country, we also do a lot of things here in New Jersey. We've done a lot with Hurricane Sandy relief. In fact, the Red Cross, because we've helped out so much, funded us to hire 2 full-time workers with Hope Worldwide to be able to run a Saturday Academy in Union Beach. We've had 340-something people go to the seaside area and help clean up after Hurricane Sandy. I mean, it just is contagious energy that just keeps going on. So really, we have about 320 volunteers here in New Jersey making a difference in people's lives.
Well, I would like to thank your organization because, as you know, I live right outside of Seaside Heights. Mm-hmm. So that's my home. And we're still struggling here, and it's been mm-hmm. years later. So I would like to thank you and your people who have come down and helped us out here.
Right. And if you know any people, is our organization. We have a lot of volunteers who've helped, still are helping seniors remove stuff from their house, and because it's not done yet. It's years before this will completely be done, but this is really something that we want opportunities to serve here at home as much as we serve outside the country.
Wow, that's really amazing. Something else that you said was that you just don't feel satisfied yet, that something still is missing, but I have to believe that's just the process of life, right?
And we're, I agree.
And also, Horatio, heads up, I don't think you're ever going to feel done. I don't think, just knowing you, I don't think you'll ever feel done or satisfied. I think you're going to just keep pushing in this direction because you're going to see, I think the more you do, the more you see that you can do.
Absolutely. There's 22,000 children that every day die from lack of food, lack of clean water, diarrhea, you know, things that we take for granted. So the job is, it's way beyond my abilities, but I believe that one family at a time, it may go beyond my lifetime, but I'm basically trying to, like, it look like a passion's like a fire. The more logs you put into, the bigger your passion becomes. So basically I'm building a fire and trying to get more wood on it. So as a result is when I'm gone, somebody will continue doing the job. And it's just, and I think the real key with passion is when you have compassion, it fuels the passion. And that's, I think that was the key. I've had passions for everything, for my business, for, you know, cars, you name it, I've had passion for. But when I put compassion in there, it will give me a clear vision, which has allowed me to do what I do.
Right. That's great. Now, have you received any advice along the way that was helpful to you?
When I took the coaching course, it really was real helpful is listening to other people, hearing them, helping them develop their own plans as opposed to me telling them what to do. And that really was changing because I thought it was a really great advice because I am working with people in other countries. And another book I read was When Helping Hurts, how we can actually try to help people and hurt them if we do things for them. So what we do is when we go out to other countries, we find out what their abilities are, what they can do, and we help along with them as opposed to doing it for them. And it's made just a tremendous impact because people now feel like they're taking ownership in their own lives. And as a result, we know they do the things when we're gone. We've seen in the last 4 or 5 years where kids who used to come in and have 3-4 teeth removed at one time looked scrawny and, you know, yellowing as a result of the vitamins and the medicines we provide for them and the dental care. This last mission brigade we went on, is kids were coming in with almost, I think we didn't have to pull one tooth.
Wow.
So, and the kids look healthier, they're smiling, they just overall, so we're seeing the difference it's making, but it's because they got involved in their own things. What we're doing now is we just, in our last project, we're showing them how to plant their own vegetables so they can go away from a high starch diet, which is what they eat in poor countries, to hopefully putting some fruit in there and eliminating some of the diabetes that they have and some other nutrition-related illnesses. So it's, again, the idea is letting people help themselves and just be there to coach and assist and try to find out what they want to do and try to guide them and how to accomplish their goals and things. And that's why I believe coaching is so important.
Right. I agree. As a motivational coach, it really narrowed my focus for this podcast because as a person, it would have been my nature to just pump people up. Go do this. Why don't you do that? Do this, do that. But the bottom line is that I learned from becoming a coach is the point that you can't tell people what to do. They need to create their ideas for themselves. And the whole point of this podcast is to introduce to my listeners a whole bunch of different types of people who are enhancing their lives in all different ways. Because if you're out there, listener, and you're feeling like your life is not exciting, that you're not pumped up to get out of bed in the morning because you don't have something to look forward to, find something to look forward to on whatever scale that means for you. And I say that because, you know, we have people who are at home with 3 or 4 kids, money's tight, time's tight, but what can you still do that feeds your person? It could be writing. It could be volunteering. It could be, but to volunteer, there's things you can do. I'm sure you have people who can volunteer from home that could just help you do something that makes them feel like they're contributing to the world, even though they're very busy staying at home with children or maybe physically handicapped and can't go out.
And we have, it's interesting in Guatemala, because we go to most Central America and the Caribbean. In Guatemala, some of our volunteers are people in wheelchairs. And they serve us when we get there. It's amazing that they're serving us and they're in wheelchairs. There was one guy who's a quadriplegic in Guatemala, and he goes to places where disabled people and teach them how they can make money in a country that has no disability, no welfare programs, how they can make money even with their disabilities. This is somebody who has basically, what he did is he put gloves on his hands with screwdrivers so he can type on a computer, and he provides an income for himself typing on a computer. So people who want to serve, it's, and again, they're serving, but people who have a vision for what they, more than what their disabilities are, can accomplish great things. For families, we provided a way, one of our trips, where people will go to the island of Exuma, which is in the Bahamas, and we go there, serve the community, and at the same time, people go with their kids there and their family, so they spend a week serving, but a week on vacation. So their kids look forward to the vacations now as a place that they're going to go do some fun stuff, which to them, the fun stuff is serving the community and also get to relax by the beach. So kind of trying to integrate families into making this part of the culture that will help us, also will help build families together, whether it's serving together. And as a family has a vision, we've seen where we go, we had a bunch of kids come up to us and say, how do we serve? And an 8-year-old girl came up with a plan called Hope Scouts. And as a result is Hope Scouts started with a vision of an 8-year-old girl. It's now in 28 states and in Honduras, and that's in the past 3 years.
Wow.
They supply the vitamins. They take care of the family in the third world countries. But they're excited about serving. And it started with an 8-year-old girl with a vision, a dream. Before long, the boy said, how do we get involved? And it's just amazing how a vision and a dream to serve is inspiring an entire new generation of people to follow behind us.
Right. And it spreads. You know, my parents were always very charitable people. They still are. I mean, they're in their 70s. My father is 80, and they still deliver meals on wheels. Mm-hmm. My mother has always been a very compassionate, giving person. And there's 5 kids in our family. And I could say myself and my 2 sisters, we're constantly doing things because that once you do that, you can't stop. You have to always have that in your life in some capacity. And I find myself, if I'm not doing that through an organization, I still see myself doing that with my friends and family. Just yep. being that giving, supportive person that they need. And you know, life being a process, I guess that the ultimate support system is part of that, because that's part of me. And, you know, part of just kind of wanting to love everybody up, pick everybody up. It just is who you are. So you recommended 2 books, and in my show notes, I will make sure to include links to them. Can you just tell me the titles again?
One is Hole in Our Gospel, and that's by Richard Stearns.
Okay.
And I don't know the name of the other author. It's called When Helping Hurts.
Okay, I'll find that.
Both are great books. It's and obviously to me is the chapter really in the Bible, which really changed, also fits right in there, is Matthew 25:35-46, where it talks about when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink, and so on. It's really realized that, you know, in that passage, he doesn't talk about all the sins that people committed. You know, you're going, the goats are the people who committed adultery, who lied. No, he talks about those who didn't love their fellow man and then go out and serve are the ones who are the goats. The sheep are the ones who are, it's part of their life, what they're doing, helping people.
Horatio, do you have another resource? Maybe something on the internet people can access and check out at home to get inspired in this direction?
Yes, I have 2 separate sites. One is www.iwhungry.org. That's directly involved in feeding families and helping them to feed themselves. And the other is for local projects, and it's called Hope, 4, Jersey, iwashungry.org are two websites. One is for our local work and the other is for the I Was Hungry work. And there we actually post some of our trips that we go to. And anybody is, you don't need to be a doctor to go, even though they're medical missions. We were just building planters. So anybody who has carpentry skills or any type of work, we have, in fact, most of our people who go don't even speak the other language. I go because I'm bilingual, so I can actually translate for doctors, but nurses, teachers, we can use everybody on these trips. It really makes a difference in people's lives. And I think the other thing I wanted to address was that a lot of times, we, you know, as parents, we wind up trying to leave a legacy for our kids. And the problem is a lot of times our legacy is so they become like us. We're out there rushing to make money and focus on money and focus on getting things. And then we find out when we get later in life, the dissatisfaction with everything that brought. And then that's the legacy we leave for our kids. They learn by watching us. On the other hand, if our kids, like you mentioned with your parents, my parents were always helping other people. And I realized that with the money my father left me, his and other things, they didn't mean as much as that legacy of serving others. And I could never understand why he was doing it till I started doing it and realizing, wow, it is the biggest treasure my parents could have left me, is teach me how to serve others.
I agree. It's just extremely fulfilling. This part of our show, we pick it up a little bit. It's the most important part about getting motivated and moving into action. So envision, explore, execute. You're going to get 1 minute responses. Okay. So how can somebody envision including serving or service into their life? How can that they envision that for themselves?
Well, the first thing I did was I prayed for a dream that God would give me something that would be fulfilling and picturing myself doing it.
Excellent. Okay. How can they explore this for themselves?
Okay. The next thing is making plans. Okay, how will I get this accomplished? What are their obstacles? I don't care about the obstacles. What is the goal? And you put the plan and you basically write down a plan step by step what you want to accomplish.
Excellent. And to execute, what do you think the first baby step would be?
You put the plan into action. What was step one, step two, step three? Understand that you're going to have some obstacles. And that's why, again, as I mentioned before, is you put your plan in sand and your vision in concrete. Is plans change, but your vision doesn't.
Put your plan in sand and your vision in concrete, everybody. Okay, so Horatio, I know that you had a 10-year plan that you accomplished in 5. I'm going to ask you, since life is a process, where do you see yourself 5 years from now?
5 years from now, I see that there'll be thousands of families being supported throughout the world. And the way we're working is we're actually working with local churches in third world countries to try to get the people there established, raising them out of poverty into where they're able to feed themselves. We're training with Microsoft certification, with English second language. Our goal is, as we're helping the people in the churches, then the people in the churches will wind up helping the communities around them. So is as I'm going from place to place, trying to say, okay, let's start one place where at least we know we have some track of who we're taking care of. And then those people will then repay what's happened to them by doing it to others.
The ripple effect.
Correct.
Can you tell me, what advice would you like to leave our listeners with today?
The advice is, as I mentioned before, is write a eulogy down. Is see if you were to die today, what people would say about you. If you love what they would say, then you're okay. But if you're like most people, you realize how empty the things that you're leaving behind are going to be and say, okay, this is not what I want to do. I'm going to do something for my life that's going to be life mean, is going to have meaning, and people are going to know after I'm gone that I changed the world. Because really, we have a short time in this world, but we can change the world. And I just think if you believe it, you can do it.
And you are doing it. I'm watching you do it. And it's pretty amazing.
Thank you.
Okay. So I know you gave us some websites, and I know that you will be a part of our Motivate Me Ultimate Support System community. Mm-hmm. What other contact information would you like to share with listeners?
Okay. My phone number, if anybody ever needs advice, it's 732-610-0000.
Which is a pretty crazy number, by the way. 0000. What'd you have to do to get that?
I kid around, have friends in low places. No. But the other one's my email address, which is Horacio, HORACIO, at iwhungry.org.
Okay, so Horacio, I really, really appreciate you coming on the show. I think that this episode has a whole different flavor that I knew you would bring to it just because I know what kind of person you are. And my listeners, I know there's so many people out there who needed to hear this, who just needed a little bit of encouragement. And sometimes they need a place to belong. You provided them information of places they can reach out and become a part of where they're needed and wanted. I know for myself, that's a beautiful feeling that I know if I reached out, I would be able to, and I may, as once I get my time scheduled together here, I may be reaching out to say, hey, I'd like to come be a part of that also.
Everyone's welcome. And thank you.
Listeners, I'm going to end with this today. Today's go-do. I love what Horacio said. I want you to write a eulogy. You can write it in a journal and keep it to yourself, or you can post it right on the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page where we can all see it and we can all comment on it and we can all discuss it with you. And I know, Horacio, you'll be looking out for those, won't you?
Absolutely.
Okay. Thanks, everybody, and have a great day.